I want to read a passage, a familiar passage to us. It's in Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Amen. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And you know that was John the Baptist, if you read the previous verses in Luke. Or that's who would be John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." All right. And then the next verse, and we're going to read a few more verses here. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And if you, I don't know what your Bible, if you're looking at it in your Bible, but right here in my Bible, it says the Song of Mary. Now that's not in the scripture, but that's in my version of the Bible. It says, does it say that? The Song of Mary? Raise your hand if your Bible says that. The Song of Mary. So what we're about to read is the first Christmas song. The first Christmas song. And I want to talk about today the songs of Christmas. And so let's look at the first one. And Mary said, verse 46, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit," we sang that song today, basically the Song of Mary. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." This is the very first Christmas song that Mary sang. It's called the Song of Mary, and it says that Mary said, but evidently she sang it, because it's called the Song of Mary. And we see, if you go back throughout the Bible, if you remember when the children of Israel, remember when they came out of Egypt? Remember when they crossed the Red Sea? Do you remember what happened? If you read Exodus 15, you remember what happened? First thing, they started singing. Miriam led them out, and they sang, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea." All right? And so throughout the Bible and throughout history, God's mighty workings have been commemorated in song.
Amen.
And one of my favorite things about Christmas, of course, and probably with you too, it's the songs.
Amen.
You know, sometimes they wear them out when they start playing them in, you know, right after Labor Day. Seems like it gets earlier and earlier now that they start playing Christmas music. But I like that. I like the songs of Christmas. Don't you? I mean, I even like the, you know, I like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and even all of those. But I especially like the ones that talk about redemption, that talk about the true heart of the message of Christmas, which is good news of great joy for all people.
Amen.
For unto you is born a Savior. Praise God. And the message of Christmas is so great, it's so wonderful, it's so full of hope that it seems like everybody likes to get into the act of singing Christmas songs. Even some of the most unlikely candidates. I noticed the other day, you all remember the Beach Boys, right? The founder of the Beach Boys is a guy named Brian Wilson. And I don't know if you know his story. It's quite an interesting story. They made a movie about it three or four years ago called Love and Mercy. And it's really quite a story of redemption and restoration, his life.
Amen.
He's still out. He's in his 70s, and he's still out touring,
yes.
And which I guess is a good thing. You know, it's kind of funny to see these, I won't go there, to see these guys. Yeah, the Rolling Stones, are they still touring?
Yes.
I mean, they look pretty rough, don't they?
Yeah,
I guess they've got enough. They've imbibed enough alcohol that it's kind of preserved them. I guess though. I don't know. But they just keep going. But Brian Wilson is still touring with his band, and they're on their Christmas tour right now. And I noticed I saw a little thing on Facebook the other night, a little post from their concert somewhere just a few days ago, and they were doing Oh Holy Night.
Wow.
So everybody gets in, and it was good. It was a good version of it. And just the other day, believe it or not, I ran across a song by Queen. Anybody remember Queen?
Yes.
The song's called Jesus. Did you know that Queen did a song called Jesus? I didn't know that. I wasn't really a Queen fan growing up, even though that was my era. That's when I was in high school, when they were coming out and when they were gaining popularity. But I never really followed them. But I ran across a song. It just popped up. A song by them called Jesus. And it was written by their lead singer, Freddie Mercury, which I did go. I don't know if any of you have seen this is a movie that just has come out recently called Bohemian Rhapsody. It's about his life. And I went with my daughter Scarlett to see that movie. And he's quite a tragic figure. He ended up dying with AIDS. But reading the lyrics of this song gave me some hope that maybe Freddie made it. Maybe Freddie made it to heaven. But here's the words. And then I saw him in the crowd. A lot of people had gathered around him. The beggars shouted. The lepers called him. The old man said nothing. He just stared about him. All going down to see the Lord Jesus. All going down to see the Lord Jesus. Then came a man. Before his feet he fell. Unclean, said the leper, and rang his bell. Felt the palm of a hand touch his head. Go now, go now. You're a new man instead. All going down to see the Lord Jesus. All going down to see the Lord Jesus. It all began with the three wise men. Followed a star, took them to Bethlehem, and made it heard throughout the land. Born was a leader of man. All going down to see the Lord Jesus. And then there's a wild guitar solo, of course. But the real Jesus, here's a kind of a side point. The real Jesus is attractive to people. People have been turned off by religion and by religious systems, but if we keep the real Jesus at the forefront, people are attracted to that. If we proclaim and demonstrate the Jesus of the New Testament, people are drawn to that Jesus. And that's the Jesus that Freddie Mercury was writing about, the real Jesus. Amen? But the songs of Christmas, the songs that proclaim the good news, the songs that are filled with words of hope and joy and redemption, they inspire all of us. I love those songs. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to point out some of my favorite lines of some of my favorite Christmas songs, and then we're going to look at the scriptures that those lines are based on And so the first one this morning is from the song Joy to the World. And here it is on the screen. And here's the line, if you can read it, down at the bottom. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. I love that. I love that line. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. Why? Because he comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. Amen? Well, let's look at the scripture in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve sinned in the very beginning, and then God has come down and he's found them and he says, okay, we got to deal with this. In verse 17, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Verse 18 says, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. So here's another little side thought before we get into the point here. For you folks that are married, guys, you know that you should listen to your wife, right?
Yes.
One smart man here. Guys, you know that you should listen to your wife, right? Now, wives, let me tell you why your husbands don't always listen to you. Because in the back of their mind, when you tell them, you should have turned left back there, not right. In the back of their mind, they're thinking about what happened here in Genesis 3, where God says, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, there's a curse that's coming on the whole planet. They want to listen to you. They know you're right. But in the back of their mind, there's that 1% chance that this might turn out the way it did in the Garden of Eden. So give them some grace, please. All right. So the curse came on the earth. When Adam and Eve sinned, the curse came on the earth. And God says thorns and thistles are going to grow out of the ground. And that's where this line comes from in Joy to the World. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground, because he's come to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Jesus coming into the earth, he came to undo what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Glory to God. Amen. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He redeemed us from that curse. Amen. Why? Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that's you and me, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Joy to the world indeed. Joy to the world indeed. Hallelujah. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Amen. Here's another one that I like. God rest ye merry gentlemen. Remember that song? God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all. Here's what I want us to see. To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Amen. Jesus came to save us all from Satan's power. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, this is out of the Good News. Did you know there was a Bible called the Good News, a translation called the Good News translation? Well, they all are. Amen. But this one just said, this is what we're going to call ourselves, the Good News translation. I like the way it reads here. He rescued us from the power of darkness to save us all from Satan's power. He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear Son. Satan no longer has dominion over you. I said, Satan no longer has dominion over you. The Bible says that the whole world, in 1 John 5, it says the whole world is under the power or the sway of the wicked one. But we're not in the world. I mean, we're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen? We're not under this power of the wicked one. Jesus came to save us all from Satan's power. Amen? Amen. And that song goes on to say, to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray, when we were gone astray. There's a scripture that talks about that, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Verse 25 now says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Jesus came to save us from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Amen. Praise God. We were all like sheep. He says we were like sheep going astray, but he came and he died for us. Amen. And he restored us and he brought us back to God. And I like the way it reads in the book of Titus as well. In Titus chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." He's describing the condition of humanity right there. I like it when we do the Godmobile outreach and we go through the little booklet there with people, and it says the first, you know, it's a question thing is, do you believe you're going to heaven? You know, yes or no. Why do you believe this? You know, and there's different things that they can check there. And I've been a good person. You know, I keep the Ten Commandments. I've never killed anybody, you know. And so those are some common answers that people give. I'm basically a pretty good person. I think I'll go to heaven. And then the next page says, this may surprise you, but according to the Bible, none of these things will get you into heaven, you know. And then we go... to the next page, and it says, check whatever words you think here describe mankind, people, man, human beings. And it's basically good, you know, kind, forgive. And then on the other side, it's all these things. It's all these words we just read. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, you know, hateful and hating one another. Not exactly the same, but descriptive of that. Just all bad stuff, you know. And you know, sometimes people check a couple on either side, you know, and on the left hand column is basically good, kind, you know, understanding. On the left hand column is greedy, selfish, you know, deceitful, all these things. And so again, they put whatever answers they want to put, and then we flip the next page, and it says, "This may surprise you, but according to the Bible, only the answers in the right hand column are correct." And that's all the bad stuff. Well, that's what it says right here. That's what it says. "We ourselves also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." And when we get people to stop and think about it, they have to say, yeah, you're right. You're right. But, verse 4, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared." When did the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appear? It appeared when Jesus came to earth. It appeared at Christmas. Amen. Amen. "When the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray." Thank God He did it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. We all love Hark the Herald Angels Sing, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. Did we sing that this morning? We didn't sing that one this morning. We've sung it, though. "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness." I had to put a lot of words up there, so it's kind of small, so I don't know if you can see that or not, but I'll read it. "Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings, mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." Yes, now you may like Away in a Manger. And that's all right. I'm not knocking away in a manger. And that's, you know, it's nice. You know, no crib for the bed, for his bed. The little Lord Jesus lays down his sweet head. But I like the Christmas songs that talk about this. I like the Christmas songs that say, "Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth."
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. But let's look at this. Let's look at the scripture that talks about this. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings." Amen. And notice in the middle of it, they insert another scripture, actually. A lot of the songs that I'm sharing with you today are full of the Word of God, which I love that. But they insert another scripture in that middle phrase there, "light and life to all he brings." Light and life to all he brings. Where does the Bible talk about that? In John chapter 1, verse 4. This is in the New Living Translation. "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone."
Amen.
His life brought light to everyone. Light and life to all he brings. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians, it says, and then the line that says, "Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ." Everybody say, "In Christ."
In Christ,
"in Christ all shall be made alive."
Amen.
Because of what Adam did, death passed down to all of us. But because of what Jesus did, if you place yourself in Christ by believing on him, what Jesus did takes effect in your life.
Amen.
And what does it mean? It means in Christ. What does that mean for us in Christ? All shall be made alive.
Amen.
Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hallelujah. Thank God he did it. Amen?
Amen.
He did that. Praise God. Amen. And then I don't have the scripture listed, but in the middle of that it says, "Mild he lays his glory by." And we read about that in the book of Philippians. It talks about though he existed in Philippians 2, though he existed in the form of God, he didn't count it a thing to be grasped or held on to be equal with God, but he laid that aside and took upon himself the form of a servant. Amen. He laid his glory by. Amen. Praise God. All right, then the fourth one we're going to look at this morning is the one that we started the service with, the video, "Mary, Did You Know?" And I love this song. Mark Lowry, actually, believe it or not, if you know the history of Mark Lowry, he's a silly guy, he's a comedian, but he wrote this most amazing Christmas song. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child that you've delivered will soon deliver you."
Amen.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Praise God. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the message of the angel to Joseph. This is when Joseph had found out that Mary was pregnant and he didn't understand. And they were engaged, but they had not consummated the marriage yet, and he didn't understand how she could be pregnant. And he was, the Bible says he was a just man, and he was going to put her away privately. He wasn't going to make a public spectacle of her. He was going to just do this secretly. He didn't want to shame her or condemn her, but he knew, well, you know, we can't be together now. And while he was thinking about doing that, an angel came to him. He said, don't put her away. For what's conceived in her, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she'll bring forth a son. Here's the verse now. And she'll bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new, and the child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Your baby boy has come to make you new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he didn't come just to make Mary new, but he came to make you new.
Yes.
He came to make you and me new.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen.
Amen.
And then I want to look at, in Luke chapter 1, the prophecy of Zacharias. You know, as, again, as we started out in Luke today, and in the first verses of the book of Luke, we find a man named Zacharias who was a priest, and his wife Elizabeth, and they were old. They never had any children. She was barren. They were unable to have children. And so he goes into the temple at the time, his appointed time to perform the service in the temple. An angel appears to him. And he says, fear not, Zacharias, you're going to have a son. Elizabeth's going to have a son. You're going to call his name John. And he's going to be a forerunner. He's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And then after that event happens, then Elizabeth becomes pregnant. Then after that, Mary becomes pregnant. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth is six months along when Mary gets pregnant with Jesus. And so she's ahead of her. John the Baptist is born about 6 months before Jesus. And when John the Baptist is born, the Spirit of God comes upon Zacharias. He's struck mute because he didn't believe. And so God said, we've got to shut you up or you're going to mess up the plan of God here.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So sometimes maybe God needs to do that to some of us.
Amen.
Some of our situations.
Yeah.
Amen. And the promises he's made to us. If you'll just shut up, I can work and bring this to pass. Well, that's the first side of it, is to stop talking the negative, but then start talking in line with God. Amen. And so John the Baptist is born, and so Zacharias is granted the ability to speak again. And the first thing he does is he prophesies. And here's part of his prophecy. In verse 74 of Luke 1, it says, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. He's prophesying about the Savior, the Messiah, that his son will be introducing to Israel.
Amen.
And he says, son, you're going to go before the Lord, and you're going to prepare the way for the Lord. Because, and then when he comes, he's going to deliver us from the hand of our enemies so that we can serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. That's a promise for us. That's a promise. That's what it means for us to know Jesus and to be saved and to have the Spirit of God in us. It means that we are delivered from the hand of our enemies. It means that we can serve him without fear. It means we can serve him in righteousness and holiness before him all of our days.
Amen?
Amen. Praise God. And that's the line in that song. Did you know the child that you've delivered will soon deliver you?
Amen.
According to this prophecy of Zacharias.
Amen.
Let's get another line of Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. When? When was the beginning? There was nothing before that, right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. And if you read on down there in John in verse 14, it says this same Word that he's talking about, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
Amen. In the book of Micah, the prophecy that identifies Bethlehem as the place where Jesus would be born. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Amen. Hallelujah. Your baby boy is the Lord of all creation. And then the line says, did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? Your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but he has now revealed him to you in these last days.
Amen.
God didn't come up with the plan of redemption after Adam and Eve sinned. He didn't scratch his head and say, what am I going to do now? Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was the Lamb slain. Hallelujah. Heaven's perfect Lamb, the Lord of all creation, one who will rule the nations, and he's the great I Am.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He declared himself that. The Pharisees came to him, and Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And the Pharisees said, what do you mean Abraham rejoiced to see your day? You're not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? He said, truly I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Look it up, John chapter 8, I believe. Before Abraham was born, I am. When the contingent of soldiers came to arrest Jesus, they came into the garden of Gethsemane to arrest him. And they came out and Jesus stepped forward and he says, who are you seeking? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And the Bible says they fell to the ground. The power of God was so strong at the release of those words that they fell to the ground. Hallelujah. The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. Reed, come on back up if you would. The last one we're going to look at is this one, O Holy Night. And I love this line from O Holy Night. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love that. What a powerful statement that is. He appeared. When Jesus appeared, then the soul felt its worth. Because Jesus came, now you know how valuable you are to God. Because Jesus came, you know how much you're worth to God. Amen? The world, humanity, that includes you and me. We were hopeless. We were helpless. The Bible says we were dead in our sins. Amen. Ephesians 2 verse 12 says that at that time you were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He appeared. And what happened when he appeared? The soul felt its worth. The soul felt its worth. You were worth so much to God that he was willing to send the very best that he had, his only son, to the earth to die for you so that you might be redeemed from sin and so that you might be able to come back to God. That's how much you're worth to God. That's how much you're worth to God. There's a parable that Jesus told that I think a lot of people misinterpret and misunderstand. I want to share this. It's a one-verse parable. I want to share it with you as we wrap this up. It's Matthew 13, 44. In Matthew 13, 44, Jesus says again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. It's like what?
Treasure
hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. I've heard this parable explained that you know you're willing to give up everything to gain the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven is like that. But well, he says the kingdom of heaven operates like that, but he didn't say that the kingdom of heaven is the treasure. He says this is what we see demonstrated in the kingdom of God. In another parable that Jesus told, that's recorded in that same chapter, the interpretation is given this way. Jesus said the field is the world. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who sowed his seed in the field, and then an enemy came and sowed tares or weeds in the same field. Remember that?
Yes.
And then when he gives the interpretation of the parable, he said the field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom. The tares are the sons of the wicked one. But the field is the world. Well, I think we should use that same rule of interpretation here. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The field is the world. What's the treasure? The treasure is you and me and every person that God knew. The Bible says He foreknew. He didn't decide for you, but He foreknew everybody that would be saved. That's the treasure. That's the treasure. And it says, for the joy over it. For the joy over the treasure. What does He do? He looks down into the earth and He sees us. And He sees the ones that will believe on Him. And it fills Him with joy. And He says, I want them. They're valuable to me. And he goes... In order to get the treasure, he has to buy the whole field, though. And so he does that. And so he comes to earth and he pays the price for the sin of the whole world. He pays the price for the sin of those who will believe on him. And believe it or not, the price has been paid for those who will end up in hell who refuse to believe. That's the tragedy. That's the greatest tragedy, the most horrible tragedy of history, is that those who don't believe on Him and those who refuse Him and those who end up going to hell and suffering in hell, price was already paid for them. Because He paid for the whole world. He bought the whole field. He bought the whole field. But He's going to get the treasure. We are the treasure. To Him, we're valuable treasure. When He appeared, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. You're a treasure to God. You're a treasure to God. You're a treasure to Him. Praise God. Let's stand up and praise Him.